good, it was good. But we go to Genesis 2, everything was perfect, but God said, there's something lacking. It wasn't good. And he said, man is alone. And God fixed it. And God gave Eve to Adam and created woman. So it was, so God is actually is a matchmaker. Do you know that? He's a matchmaker. And you know, Adam and Eve was a perfect match. You know why? Because there was no mother-in-law. There was no to nagging or the father-in-law or the other man that, you know, talking about their wives or the other wives that are talking about, you know, themselves. And they say, oh, you have this or you have that. So that's why they were perfect. No, that's a joking, okay? So it was perfect. Everything was perfect. Everything in the eyes of God was perfect. So we expected at the end of chapter 2, we read this one. So Adam and Eve live happily ever after. Everything was perfect. You back and read it, everything, the creation, and God gave them a garden, a beautiful garden. Actually, he prepared everything. He prepared everything, and he just asked Adam and Eve and said, hey, you go there and just make it better. Just maintain it. That's all. And eat. Do you know what is the first commandment in the Bible? What is the first commandment? It's interesting. The first commandment is, God said, eat. How good is that, huh? Eat! I love it. So God said, eat, eat. Any trees that is in the garden, only one tree, you don't touch it. Because the day that you touch and you eat from that tree, you will be die. That's the only things that we know from Genesis 2:17. And they just leave and everything was perfect. But now we come to Genesis 3. Okay, not working. Working. Yeah. All right. Yes, it's on. All right. So in Genesis 3, up to Genesis 3, everything was good. Everything was perfect. And now we just go to Genesis 3 and we want to see what happened that we have this title, The Fall of Man. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Now we introduce to a new character, the serpent. Up to here, we just know man, or we know Adam and Eve and God. And we haven't been introduced in two chapters about these creatures. And we don't know what is that, the serpent. What is that, the serpent? Was more crafty. It didn't mention here Satan. It didn't mention here the devil. So if we want to know exactly what is this serpent, how many of you, you just be in a school and your teacher asks you, if you want to know the answer, you just go to the back of the book. Remember? So now we are in Genesis 1, right? So we want to know who was the serpent. So it's better to go to the back of the book, which is the book of Revelation. All right? So we go to the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, 9 to 10, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So now we know That's the serpent, the devil, Satan, which means adversary, the deceiver, the accuser, and another name that we can find in Matthew 4:3, it's the tempter. You remember when Jesus, before he goes for his mission, and he went to a desert for 40 days, the Bible mentioned the tempter. So this is all the name of this serpent. So the other names is a liar. And as we know, in Genesis 3, he said that this serpent is so crafty. You know why he's crafty? Which means that he's a schemer. He's a schemer. And he's so good to manipulate everything. So that's a serpent. But maybe you might ask, did God create Satan? That's a valid question, right? Did God create Satan? That's the answer. If we go to two passages, because of the time, I didn't put these two passages. Maybe you can come to me and ask me. I will explain it for you more. But there are two passages, main passages about the Satan or about evil. So Ezekiel 28, 11 to 15, Isaiah 14, 12 to 17. If you just piece it together, all these verses together from these two passages, you come out with this summary. So the original name of the devil or Satan is Lucifer. He was an angel. He was an angel. So Lucifer means morning star. So he was a star in creation. So he was an angel. He was full of wisdom, according to Ezekiel. And he was in the charge of worship. So he was a kind of worship leader. Right? So he was a former angel. He was a worship leader. He was full of wisdom. Even in Ezekiel, if you go back and read, you can find that God actually gave so many precious stones to this angel. And something happened. This star wanted to become the director. That's the issue. Have you seen the people? You know, they are actor, actress, and then after many years, they wanted to become a director, right? They said, I got tired in front of camera. I want to go behind of the camera. Yeah, that's my job. So this is happened to Satan. He was a star, worship leader, angel, full of wisdom, very special, but one day he decided to become a director. That's why he failed. He failed from heaven. And he cast from heaven. And now he wants to have his own agenda. So he has a mission. That's his mission. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is his mission. So now you know who is the serpent. You know where did he come from and what is his mission. Steal, kill, destroy. That's his mission. And he's very crafty. He manipulates everything. He changes and twists everything. We go through to the Genesis chapter 3, and you know more about these creatures or this. Now, it's not angel. It's a former angel turned to Satan. So you will know more about Satan. Now, after we know who is the serpent, we go back to the Genesis 3. Genesis 3, it continues. He said to the woman, did God actually say? Listen to this. That's very, very important verse in the Bible. Do you know that that's the first question mark in the Bible? That is the very, very first question mark in the Bible. Up to this point, everything was the word of God, powerful. He just say, and it just done. No, another character came, and he has a mission to destroy, to steal, to kill, and also he wants to disrupt this creation. And as we know, he's very crafty. He came to Eve and he said, did God actually say? He questioning God's word. He questioning God's word. Listen to this. It's very important. It's happened every day in our life. He challenged God's word. Maybe you see in your life. You have something from God. You know, Adam and Eve have everything, the word of God, and they live by it. Now, something or someone is coming and questioning, challenge God's word. And he said, did God actually say that? It's happened maybe to you, or many times happened to me. It come to me and said, does God really love you? You have this promise, right, in the Bible, that God loves you. But again, come to you, really? God loves you? Questioning. Right? And he continues, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. So he said, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did really God say that? He didn't say that. But he manipulated, he twisted, he perverted. He actually made it a kind of word that now he challenged God's love for Eve. He said, this is the God that really loves you? He said that you shall not eat any of this fruit, any tree. But God didn't say that. God said that you can't eat any fruit from any tree. Only one tree you are not supposed to eat. So he changed. He challenged God's love. And the woman said to the serpent, now Eve was pretty smart. He still remembered Genesis 2:17. So he said that. He said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now listen to this. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now he denied God's word. Satan, in our life, challenged God's word. Questioning God's word. And then he challenged God's love and also denied God's word. And it's every day is happening to our life now. Every day from the morning, you just wake up, you want to praise, come to you and said, you are guilty. And you know, he come and just give you a question and goes. You just remain with that question. Oh no, you know, that's the way of Satan. Now he deceived Eve. Before we go to another passage and continue, this is a practical question that I want to ask you. Do you believe God's truth or do you believe Satan's lie? Because in your life, from the very morning that you wake up, two things coming to you. There's God's word, Satan's word, and lies. God's word says to you that you are my child. I love you. I'm always be with you. Satan's lie come. You are not worthy. He said, God really exists? You come from bacteria. I just go, And I said, oh no, I don't believe that. You know, it's Satan's lie. You back YouTube, all the news, the books, all. You know, Satan's true at you, everything from the morning. All the lies. And instead of we just hold on to the word of God, we just take this one. I said, yeah, you know what? In some way, yeah, he's right. I'm not worthy. I'm so guilty. He said, you already, all of your sin washed away. But still, we don't believe that. Because we still sometimes hear Satan's lies. So that's a practical question. Do you still believe God's truth or Satan's lies? Because he's a liar. He's so crafty. He's so good. He's a master of manipulating everything. And the only things that I really want to challenge you and encourage you, you read this word. As much as you know about this word, you can stand against his lies. Amen. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Genesis 3:6. That's the darkest moment in history. This verse is the darkest moment in history. So when the woman saw, just listen carefully, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. You see the four stage of disobedient. You see that? Now she deceived, right? After she deceived, now she's away from the purpose of God because she already deceived. Now she's vulnerable. She's ready to go with the Satan's lies. So she said, wow, that's so good. We don't know exactly what is that fruit. Many scholars believe that that's an apple. Many believe that that's an apple. For sure, it's not durian, okay? All right? I study. It's not durian. Yeah, it's a... We don't know exactly whether it's apple, whether it's grapes. Many scholars believe that it's grapes. We don't know exactly. And it doesn't matter. Because the matter is, God put something that he said, oh, yes, you have a freedom, but there is a limitation for your freedom. And that's a sign between me and you. And I want to see you how to obey me. Right? So it doesn't matter. But whatever it was, the fruit, it was so good because now she's alone. She's away from the purpose of God. Now she goes for pleasure. His pleasure. Which means that she saw, that's the fourth stage of disobedience. She saw, she took, she ate, now she gave. This is how Eve disobedient. But for Adam was amazing. She just get it and said, hum. That's Adam. When I read that passage, I said, man, oh, what's that? At least Eve debate with Satan. But this guy, this dude, he just ate it. Anyway, whether it's the fourth stage, immediate disobedience, they both disobey God. And you know, I was thinking, you know, I was reading this passage and said, okay, Eve has a conversation with Satan. Where was Adam? Watching Netflix or? Where was he? Because, you know, he was supposed to be a leader of the house. Right. Where was he? And he was not there. He was watching, I don't know, YouTube or Netflix or what he was doing. But I just believe that he was there. And you know why he didn't eat first? Because he wants to see what happened for Eve. No, just joking. And after, you know, he said, because he knows that once you eat, you die. So he wants to see whether she die or not. And then he said, okay, God, you see, she ate and died. So that's a joke. So whatever, you know, that's a forest stage or immediate one, both, they disobey. And sin came to this world. Paul actually put it in a very, very powerful way. 5:12, Paul said, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. So now, I want to just introduce you to a virus that is very, very, very dangerous. It's more dangerous than HIV. We call it SIN. SIN. It just spread. The Bible says sin entered, death entered after that. What does it mean? Death. We all die in the spirit. And I'll share you more about that. Death spread and death reigned. From that moment, from Adam, death reigned. But thanks for Jesus that come and overcome the death. We will talk about Jesus and redemption more next week. So I won't share more. You need to come next Wednesday. Okay? Come next Wednesday. Sin mars the image of God in man. You remember Pastor Pusang share about the image of God? It mars. I remember a time came with my brother and family. We went for vacation, and our hometown is a mountain place. It's nice in the winter. There is a very nice lake, and you know, when we go there, because the lake was so unique, and it was not really in a public place that everyone goes. So it was so nice. So whenever we go, you know, whenever we went there, so it was so nice, especially in the winter, and you can see your face. And it was so nice. But you know, me and my brother and my cousin, we just took the stone, the flat stone, and we want to try, you know, to just skip away, you know, from the river. And when we just did that, you see how it marred everything. So I would say, man, take the stone and marred the image. Now our image was marred by Adam. And God's rescue mission is to take back this image. So it's already marred, and spiritually we die. Another question. Are you living with God's purpose, or are you living with man's pleasure? Which one you choose every day? You go for your pleasure or you go for God's purpose? I have a very good friend. Still we are friends. He also got saved. He came to church for a while. And, you know, because we were the same age, we were very close friends. And in business also, we were partner for a season. So he was so close to me. And after a while, he asked me to meet up with him. In 12, it's about 1 a.m., he called me. He said, I wanted to meet you now. He said, 1 a.m.? He said, no, I want to see you. Come to my office, not my home. So I went. I just felt that it's a very serious matter. So I went there. As I sat down, he began to cry. I said, you know, I cannot take it anymore. I need to talk to you. And he just threw a bunch of cards, you know, on the desk. I said, all these cards access you to all the pornography, you know, channels and all those. I'm addicted. I said, what happened to you? And you know what he said? He said that, you know, I began to watch. And he said, it's only a little. And then I said that it's good. So I continue and said, it's good. It's a bit. I just make it a 10 minutes more, 20 minutes more. And then he said that I realized that I'm addicted. And he said, I'm sorry, because that time I forget what God has for me. And I forget his purpose for my life. That's happened to everyone. That's only an example. It could be happen in your life in any areas. You go for your pleasures or you go for God's purpose. Genesis 3, 7, 9. Then the eyes of both were open. Okay, wait a minute. Since Genesis 2, they were naked. And it said they knew that they were naked. So what is that? Now they know. Since chapter 2, they were naked. And now they realize that they were naked. So how? Do you know why? Because as I share with you, Pastor Pusay share with us, we have three parts. Spirit, soul, body. So before sin, they were selfless. They weren't actually self-consciousness. Because it was the spirit of mind. The mind of a spirit actually was there. Now the spirit died. So now, what is that? The mind of flesh. Now the mind of flesh dominated. Now they said, and now the consciousness of guilt came. We are naked now. So the guilt came. And they see themselves that they are naked. Because now they were self-consciousness. And the consciousness of guilt came, disappear, and innocent disappear because there was no spirit of mind. There was no spirit. The spirit died. That's happened. And now they say that they're naked. Now they just looking for a solution. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Here, it doesn't mean that God lost man's location. God didn't speak here about his location. He speak to his condition. He said, where are you now in my relationship? Where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So now, because of sin, they covered themselves because they ashamed. So the guilt, shame, fear, these are the consequences of sin. And he said, yeah, we. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of tree of which I commanded you not to eat? God, of course God knows. But he asked Adam, and he wants to see how Adam responds. So the man said, the woman! That's a good logic, right? And it's a very valid logic. That's right. It's a good logic, but it's not a good theology. Because God said, don't touch it. Whatever it is, in any condition, don't touch it. So he said, the woman. So now the blame began. How many of you have experienced it, especially when you were a child? You do something wrong, you're looking for someone else. Hey, yeah, he was the one, not me. He was the one. So they hide, shame, guilt, all these things come after sin. And now they began to blame each other. So after woman, God turned to woman and said, what is that you have done? The woman said, the serpent. So they point to someone else. They began to blame. That's actually come from sin. How many of you experience all this together? I experience it. Hide when I mistake, I hide. I'm so ashamed. You know, it's in our nature since we were born. Because some people, they say that, no, it's actually happened after we leave and we just grown up, all these things we learn. I'm not really agree. Because I remember my daughter, she was 3 years old and I was watching him. But she felt that I'm watching TV, right? And she just sneaking and, you know, she wants to just put, just take one of the decoration. And all of a sudden, it's just broken. You know what she did? She just hide it. That's it. And you know, she just looking, you know. So where did she learn? From who? Did I teach her? No, this is in her nature. So this is all we have. Shame. We want to hide. We want to hide our mistake. We want to hide our all our guilt, all of our wrongdoings, because we are ashamed and we are looking for a cover like Adam and Eve. You know what they cover themselves? They cover by fig leaves. But you know the fig leaves is not really a good one, right? Because after a while it just dried. And then it just fall off. And again, you naked. So we are looking for solution. That's a problem with human being. That's why we are looking for religion. That's why we are looking for good works. That's a problem. This is the solution that we are all wants to find out to just cover up our mistakes. But this is, I think, the climax of this chapter. After all this wrongdoing, after all these mistakes, this is God's response. In spite of Adam and Eve disobedient, in spite of the guilt, shame, and mistakes, and all wrongdoings, chapter 3:21 said, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garment of skin and clothed them. This is God's solution. Adam and Eve wanted to find out a solution, fig leaves. But that's a solution from God. God said, your religion, your good works, it just works among the men. It's not working for me. My solution is the blood has to be shed. Something needed to be sacrificed. That's why you see here an animal definitely sacrificed. The blood has to be shed, and he just clothed them with the skin of the animal. That's the shadows of sacrificial system in the Old Testament. But listen to this. The ultimate sacrifice is Jesus Christ. He came, he sacrificed, he died, and his blood was shed. Now, we don't need to cover up ourselves with good works or religion. We can cover by something that God provided, which is Jesus Christ, that died on the cross, and his blood was shed. His body was broken. now all of our shame, our guilt covered by God. Not a question. Do you want man's cover up or you want God's covering? Which one you want tonight? As you listen to this message, I want to end it as the worshipers and singers come on the stage. I want to invite you to stand up. You know, in the Garden of Eden, even despite of disobedient and despite of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, you know, God was looking for them. That's why he went and said, "Where are you?" Because he was looking. And it's the same for tonight. He was looking for you. Because this is the Satan's lies. I said, you are alone. But this is God's truth. You are never alone. I'll be with you. I never forgive you. I never forsake you. I am there for you. Even though you have guilt, you are ashamed, you have mistakes, I am there for you. That's why I gave my beloved son to you, to die on the cross, and his blood was shed for you to cover all of your sin. So I want to encourage you, if you are in that stage, that still you feel that, you feel guilty, you feel that you are ashamed, still ashamed. You walk with God, but you feel that you are still ashamed. Let me just encourage you. There is no shame in Christ. There is no condemnation in Christ. And that's a Satan lies that wants to give you every day. So I want to pray first for those that have this kind of situation. How many of you have this kind of situation? You still feel guilty. You still feel ashamed. You still feel that, oh yeah, I've done so many things and I'm still... have some problem. I cannot, you know, feel that I'm free in the presence of God. Who among you? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just close your eyes or your head. Just feel free in the presence of God. You just raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. God, thank you for all those hands. God, I pray in Jesus' name as we share tonight, you just reveal yourself. And you just say to them that I am with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to all of those hands tonight. And God, I pray that you just set them free from all this guilt and shame. And just remind them that you died on the cross for them. Now they can stand here free with joy. And they can jump in your presence, Lord. Lord, thank you for all these hands in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for the second group. I want to pray for those that you haven't invited Jesus in your life. Let me tell this. With all of those fig leaves that I share, we cannot leave. They all dried. They all fall off. And then we need to find for another thing, look for another things. But the only answer is Jesus Christ. The ultimate sacrifice. So I want to encourage you here tonight. That's the best time for those that you haven't invited Jesus in your heart. That's the best time that you give your life to Jesus Christ. And let the blood of Jesus cover you and you walk with Jesus in freedom, with joy, with peace, and with rest. So I want to ask you, who among you tonight, you want to surrender your life Jesus Christ and just set free from all these guilt, shame, and just walk with God? Who among you? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Don't be afraid. God is here with you. And you can experience Him. Lord, thank you. Thank you for tonight. And thank you for all the people here, God, that you know their hearts more than anyone else. God, I pray in Jesus' name, you help them to walk with you freely, Lord. Set them free from all the guilt, shame, and remind them that you already died. The victory already is here for us. And we can walk with you. Lord, thank you that you cover us. We don't need man's cover up. You cover us by your beloved Son. Thank you, Lord. We commit our time to your hands. And God, I pray as all of us, we walk away from this room and go back home. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Wherever we go, whatever we are going to do, may your presence would be upon and ahead of us. Thank you, Lord. I commit all of my prayers to your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Your grace is